Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses the current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. Stay tuned and listen to the movers and shakers in multifamily share their opinions and thoughts about what's old, what's new, and where the multifamily industry is heading in the future. You are listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Well, welcome and thank you for tuning into Multifamily Matters, the only broadcast radio show in the nation that's solely dedicated to the multifamily industry. I'm your host, Paul Marks, and we have a great show with wonderful guests who are experts on today's topic. Today, we're going to discuss several creative and interesting ideas and tips for owners of and operators of multifamily properties. And joining me by phone from California are multifamily industry thought leaders, Joe Killinger, a partner with Pono Asset Management, and George Pino, CEO of Commercial Brokers International. Welcome, guys.
Thank you. Good morning.
Thank you. Yes, and good morning in Houston, and thank you for having us, Paul.
No problem. I guess full disclosure for our listeners, Joe, you are a prolific poster of very interesting posts and articles, and I read several of yours that I thought would be great for our listeners to kind of get a feel for some of your ideas. Obviously, it comes from years of experience, and we're going to go into that a little bit later in the show. But you had several topics, one of which I think is always of interest to our listeners are you had a post that were the five ways to increase the revenue on your rental properties. And I'll just kind of for our listeners, give them those five topics. Then we can go through each one. You had increase occupancy, and then in parentheses, smartly, so to smartly increase your occupancy, which is important. Raise rent smartly, be consistent with late fees, minimize turnover, and find additional revenue streams. So let's talk a little bit about that.
Okay. I can tell you one thing that we did is we owned a 394-unit property in Dallas at one point, and it was a Class B-minus asset, and there was no covered parking. So we took about, I want to say, out of the 394, we put like 70 carports in, and we charged an extra, I don't remember what it was, $25 a month for the covered parking. And so we're always looking for those type of things. How can we add revenue? Accent wall,
right?
Giving people that are leasing your property the opportunity to have an accent wall, and then you charge, depending on your area, $10, $15, $20 extra a month. So we're always looking for those type of extra revenue add-ons.
And give our listeners an idea, like when you said you built those carports, obviously there was a capital expenditure involved. What kind of an ROI did you have? How quickly did it pay back for you?
Well, I'll step in on this one if you don't mind, because I was involved on the price itself. The carports cost us, they were metal carports, really nice new construction, built for about $750 per carport.
Mm-hmm.
We ended up charging, as Joe mentioned, it was $25 additional parking for covered parking a month. So, which translated to about $300 a year. So the payoff itself was only in about 2.5 years. But more importantly, when you look at it at a cap rate basis,
right,
and the valuation of the property itself, each one of those carports that cost us $750 on an 8 cap for that general area actually increased the property about $3,750.
Wow.
So, immediately seeing a jump by almost 500%.
Right, that's right. That's great. And the payback being a couple of years is pretty good too.
Absolutely. The beautiful part about the carports was that 100% of the income essentially went to the bottom line, because it really didn't require any kind of maintenance or additional maintenance. We already had porters that would clean up the grounds and things like that. It's not like there was any crazy maintenance or expenses added to the carports themselves. Part of the construction, the way we did it was, for lighting, we put solar lights installed on it, so we didn't have to worry about running wires. We didn't have to worry about the maintenance on that. We didn't have to worry about utility bills. So 100% of the revenue was essentially straight to the bottom line of the NOI.
That's great. You know, Joe, in this post, your very first item was increase occupancy smartly. Let's talk about what you mean by that.
Well, I can go back to that property. When we were going out and we did the market survey, the previous owner had been so far under market that they were just putting people in that, really they were just kind of doing a pulse because they wanted to get people in there. We went in, did a market survey, made the units what was typical for there, really cleaned them up nice, added some nice appliances, and then we raised the rents. And, those people, they moved in, they had a really nice property, really nice home. And, we got I think it was 18% increase on the rents, and it was just a really good return for our money.
That's great. And you also have down here, be consistent with late fees.
Yeah, you're always going to get, I was just dealing with this yesterday. We've got a couple of tenants that, they tell you they got hard times or, and you want to have a heart, but yet, you want to make sure that you're enforcing the rules, because if you don't collect the late fees on one tenant, they're going to talk, and then you're going to have the whole property come and you say, listen, I know that you gave X person time, and so I really would like to have the same time. And then all of a sudden, you're not going to be getting any late fees.
Ultimately, it kind of boils down to being or holding all the tenants accountable for their responsibilities, while you're accountable for your responsibilities, which is to give them give the tenants, the residents that live there, a clean, clean, safe place to live that is there. But they have their own responsibilities, which is essentially to maintain the property, their own unit, and also to pay rent. And by holding them accountable, it puts everybody on the same playing field.
We're talking about ways to increase revenue on your rental properties. And Joe, you had listed in here something that it seems so logical and so basic, but obviously that it's an issue because people are always asking about it, minimizing turnover. What are your tips for that?
Well, actually, that's kind of a broad one, so I guess we'll kind of pick. But if we're working on a deal right now where we've got tenants that, our rents, we could increase them a good amount, but these tenants can't afford it. So we're going to have to go in, talk to them, see what they can really afford. I don't want to have just an empty building. I don't want to see them just out on the street, and we're sitting there paying the mortgage and not have any income coming
in. Sure.
So we're being very careful with that. Always be communicating with your tenants. A lot of them, if you just sit in your office, your leasing office, and you're not talking to your tenants about everything that's going on, communication is a lot of it. And, if you are talking to your tenants about everything you've got going on, when there's a financial problem with one of them, bring them in, communicate to them. And you don't want to all of a sudden get all these requests. And that goes back to maintenance. You want to get all these maintenance requests, handle them, take care of them, take care of your tenants. And if you start taking care of the tenants, you communicate with them, you're going to find that you're going to minimize your turnover.
Right. And I noticed, on some other folks that we've had on the show previously, they've talked about, obviously one of the big issues in the apartment industry is creating a sense of community instead of a bunch of people that don't even know each other. How have you dealt with that on your properties as far as trying to getting the residents engaged?
Community events. We do some community events. We also, if they refer somebody in, we go to our tenants and say, listen, if you have somebody that you want to, pick your neighbor. We'll give you a X amount off of your rent if you refer somebody in. And so it gives them a sense of, okay, I can help create my own community here. And then the community events are really big for us. We do stuff for our kids. We will go around to our property managers. We'll go around to the community and try and get, like, for example, in one of our properties, we have a dentist. We have a doctor that works over there. They'll give certificates to our people, say, listen, we'll give you a discount if you come over here and get work done or you get a checkup here, and then just to try and help them. Eyeglasses were a big thing. We had a neighbor that I want to say one of the big eyeglass companies came in and did free eye checkups for the kids and that kind of stuff. And it really gave the people a real sense of, okay, I belong in this community. They're helping me out.
Right.
And whatever you can do to really make them feel like they're part of something is critical.
That's great. All right, well, we're going to have to take a short break. We're going to be right back after these messages. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Tired of being burned by your carpet vendor? Nobody has you covered like Rasa Floors. They lead the industry with same-day service and cutting-edge technology, like their online ordering portal and mobile app, so you can place orders instantly. The professionals at Rasa Floors are the industry experts offering the hottest new styles of carpet and hard surfaces that will help you achieve your goals. Visit them on social media, watch their videos, and look for them at local trade shows. Rasa Floors will help you make ready your apartment homes for new residents. For more information, visit rasafloors.com.
Your property and liability insurance is one of your highest expenses. Put Ted W. Allen & Associates' 50-plus years of experience in multifamily insurance to work for you. If you have multiple properties on separate policies, you may qualify for a master policy, which can eliminate the need for multiple insurance renewals and provide you significantly lower premiums. Call Ted W. Allen & Associates at 281-378-7500. That's 281-378-7500. Or online at tedwallen.com.
Your multifamily property's water and sewer rates are skyrocketing every year. The only way to lessen the impact is to reduce water consumption through water conservation. E-Conserve has pioneered a no-cost, no-risk water conservation program, and it doesn't cost you a penny. A property in Houston is saving over $196,000 a year with this no-cost program. Call E-Conserve today at 713-662-3220. For a free analysis of your property, that's eConserve at 713-662-3220.
Well, we are back and you are listening to Multifamily Matters, and we are discussing several creative and interesting ideas and tips for owners and operators of multifamily properties. I'm Paul Marks, and joining me by phone from California, our multifamily industry thought leaders, Joe Killinger, a partner with Pono Asset Management, and George Pino, the CEO of Commercial Brokers International. Before we jump back into the conversation, I do want to remind our listeners that if you'd like to provide show topic, guest ideas, or suggestions, or just listen to any archived episode of Multifamily Matters, please go to our website at multifamilyradio.com. So, Joe, one of the things that one of the articles that you wrote, or the postings that I saw, was best way to attract dog owners to your property, and that's such a huge thing these days. Pets, having pets on properties, and that goes to just the general topic of what amenities are hot out there right now that attract residents. But let's talk about the dog owners. Your article. You were talking about creating partnerships.
Well, you've got about 70% of the rental market has a pet now.
Yeah,
has a dog now, and so if you don't, I mean, you want to be able to capture that portion of the market, so you really have to make the opportunity for yourself to capture them.
And so, some of the ways that you had mentioned doing that, you know, I thought were, you know, kind of genius. Hopefully, people are doing this.
Well, my mother would be thankful that you said genius, but now, I don't know if that's true. It's just a little research.
Well,
you know, when you have, if you have the space, I guess, for example, if you have a laundry room and you want to put in a wash basin where somebody come in and can wash their dog, that's huge. That creates, they're not going to have to do it in their tub or their sink at home. You know, and you want to make sure that as you're building it out that you have the opera, you know, you want to make sure the drain system is prepared to handle it.
Right.
And flooring for dogs, you want to take that into considerable or to consideration. Hard surface flooring is the best. Things like that, you really need to be thinking about. Okay, if I have a dog, what would be ideal for me? And you know, it's a great amenity to add.
Mm-hmm. And I know. You know, there are so many. Obviously, the newer properties that are being developed today, they seem to always have a dog park. You know, something. Assuming they have the space. They have that. And there's a lot of properties that are retrofitting their properties with some type of a dog park, you know, different shapes and sizes.
Yeah, they're putting in dog parks or dog runs. They have the artificial grass that's made specifically for this. They're putting drains in places so it can just be washed off. But, yeah, if you don't, I mean, maybe you don't want to go to that expense, but you have an open area and you could fence it in and turn it into a dog run. And, you know, it's a great, that way people don't have to leave the property. They can stay right on at home and have their pet outside, and it just works well. And again, that's about building community, because if you go back to that, everybody's going to be standing outside talking with the other dog owners, and it just creates a great environment for people.
Yeah, and you went further, I think, in your article to talk about creating partnership with dog daycare facilities and veterinarians and so forth. What have you found with that?
There's a property that I know of that they went out and created. If you are going to be leaving town and you know you need some place to get your dog, they give you a discount because they do. You know, everybody in that building, and they'll come and pick them up even. So,
yes.
Creating those kind of partnerships, mm-hmm. Making it as easy for your tenants, for your community. To handle these things is priceless.
I know that when I go visit communities and I walk into the management office, it seems like more and more I'm seeing, you know, little jars or so forth that have dog treats in them for the residents to bring by. And you know, I guess the message is, if you're going to do that, you need to make sure that your residents and prospective residents who walk in know that you're a pet-friendly community.
Absolutely. I mean, you've got to understand a lot of these people, Paul, really, they see these animals as their children.
Sure.
And, you know, it's you've really got to keep that in mind because, of you know, 70% of the market, that's a big chunk.
Right.
You want to be catering to it as best you can, you know, but... And also have pet insurance, just in, you know.
Sure.
All that.
You know, George, I'm going to ask you, what are some of the other hot amenities right now that you're seeing or properties utilize to try and attract and keep their residents?
Well, there's a few things that we're seeing on the market and also within the multifamily industry that's pretty interesting. A lot of it, there are some places that are actually building lockers for all the package deliveries. You know, one of the largest REITs that owns apartments, they've seen a threefold increase in package deliveries from just 2016. And you know that they're having to deal with that. So with their maintenance as well, having to hold them and whatnot in larger developments. But to help them out, they're actually creating lockers and working in conjunction, sometimes even with Amazon, to put Amazon lockers in. In addition to that, they're creating a little bit more of a kind of a smart system where when there is package or mail being delivered, the tenant is automatically notified of that. So, you know, they know that they can come down and that there's mail there as opposed to running down doing that.
Right.
Some of the other amenities that we're starting to see is everything from bike storage, especially in large urban areas. And as well as, we're looking at different companies creating partnerships with whether it's restaurants or, as Joe mentioned, dog walkers. But also, you're looking at having the local community kind of get involved as well and creating that as an amenity and building that into it. The neat thing as well that I've seen is we're starting to see a switch from, a lot of people are getting food delivery.
Right.
Not as many people are cooking, so a dishwasher is not as desirable as much as perhaps a washer and dryer. And there are some new systems out there that actually work that were designed specifically to retrofit apartments for taking the dishwasher out and putting a one-unit washer dryer that fits perfectly in that space. And you can actually charge extra for that. I know we have clients that have retrofitted, and the cost of it's about I think $1,100 for the unit, $1,100 to $1,200 for the unit plus the basic installation. It already has water and plumbing because the dishwasher's there, and it's a one-piece unit, but they actually charge $35 extra a month to have that installed. So it pays for itself pretty quickly, and it's actually a great little amenity because people like, no matter what, people are going to have to do laundry.
Yes.
They like that privacy. They like having the ability to do that there. And so, there's looking at those kind of amenities that are, one, is going to set the apartment apart from everybody else, but also potentially increase your income and or occupancy levels.
Right.
Joe mentioned a stat that 70% of a lot of the renters right now have pets. It's interesting in that the pet-friendly buildings, 90% of them are occupied with pets, the ones that are actually open and willing to pet. So you're actually attracting a more of those types of tenants than the average building out there. And, basic law of supply and demand, if your demand is up, you're going to be able to raise rents as well.
Right, right. And one of the things that I think is, most properties have these days is obviously a workout facility. And what I've seen happen on some properties, I remember going to one property on a Saturday to visit a manager. And there was a big truck outside loading back into the truck about 20, spin cycle bicycles. And so when I asked the manager about it, she said, yeah, as a service to kind of create community as well as an amenity, we have regular classes. Obviously, mm-hmm. we can't afford to have 20 bicycles in here, but we made a deal with a company that brings in instructors, and they bring their own bicycles. And I just thought that was a great
absolutely.
Idea.
Absolutely,
yeah.
Yoga, different types of we've seen yoga instructors come in. They give yoga classes. They even have you can do a happy hour kind of yoga relaxation after work. We've seen that happen where you're actually bringing in things that as opposed to the resident having to go, they come home having to go out, go back to the gym or do something like that. You're actually trying to create that for them within the community. And again, it goes back to building community.
Yeah.
And you're absolutely right. Yeah.
And you had mentioned, people don't like to cook and so forth. And I know, and we've only got about less than a minute left, but in this segment, but the, one of my previous guests said that they have properties sometimes that have old clubhouses that aren't being used, and they'll use that space for classes like yoga and so forth, but they'll also use it to bring in a pop-up restaurant or a pop-up retail space. Mm-hmm. And they don't necessarily get any additional revenue out of that for doing that, but they're obviously using that to create an amenity that is being used, as well as giving the sense of community again to their residents. But we're gonna take a break. We're gonna be back with our third segment of Multifamily Matters right after these messages. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Your property and liability insurance is one of your highest expenses. Put Ted W. Allen and Associates' 50-plus years of experience in multifamily insurance to work for you. If you have multiple properties on separate policies, you may qualify for a master policy, which can eliminate the need for multiple insurance renewals and provide you significantly lower premiums. Call Ted W. Allen & Associates at 281-378-7500. That's 281-378-7500. Or online at tedwallen.com.
Looking for cost savings and curb appeal? Call WaterLogic, the nation's specialist in multifamily property water management. Using interactive, smart water technology, WaterLogic's professionals can help you save up to 40% on irrigation water annually, potentially adding tens of thousands of dollars back into your budget. Call WaterLogic at 713-983-9555 for a no-cost irrigation usage analysis. Your property will look great, and you'll be a hometown hero.
Tired of being burned by your carpet vendor? Nobody has you covered like Rasa Floors. They lead the industry with same-day service and cutting-edge technology, like their online ordering portal and mobile app, so you can place orders instantly. The professionals at Rasa Floors are the industry experts offering the hottest new styles of carpet and hard surfaces that will help you achieve your goals. Visit them on social media, watch their videos, and look for them at local trade shows. Rasa Floors will help you make ready your apartment homes for new residents. For more information, visit rasafloors.com.
Well, we are back and you're listening to Multifamily Matters, and we're discussing several creative and interesting ideas and tips for owners and operators of multifamily properties. I'm Paul Marks. Joining me by phone from California are two multifamily industry thought leaders, Joe Killinger, a partner with Pono Asset Management, and George Pino, CEO of Commercial Brokers International. I do want to take a moment and thank our exclusive sponsors that make Multifamily Matters possible. EconServe, providing multifamily water conservation solutions for properties across the U.S. Rasa Floors, the professional flooring advisor specializing in make-ready replacement flooring for the multifamily industry throughout Texas and Oklahoma. WaterLogic, the smarter way to water, providing professional irrigation water management. And Ted W. Allen & Associates, specializing in multifamily habitational insurance since 1967. Guys, we were talking during the break. Joe, you had a very interesting article that you had written, the five inexpensive makeover tips to put your leasing space at the top of the list. So let's run through what those are.
Absolutely. You want to think, if you have vacant units or a vacant unit, the first thing your potential new tenant is going to see is when they pull in the property, what do the grounds look like? Make sure that you've got everything, is all the gardening is done, or the landscaping is done. Everything is trimmed up nice. When they come into the leasing office, make sure that it looks great. Everything's in place. You don't want the 1970s ficus tree sitting there full of dust. You want to make sure that that's all cleaned up, and maybe a fresh plant or two.
Yeah.
And really make it appealing for them to even be in the leasing office. Now, when you get to the actual unit, you want to make sure it's completely clean. You have a maintenance person that can go in and clean it all up, make sure it's dust-free. If it needs paint, if somebody's moved out, make sure it's painted and ready to go. And do a nice job. It just really make sure that you go in and check your paint. Make sure that your painter has done a really nice job. That's all. You got to look at first impression. And put yourself in the renter's place. If I walk in, what is it that I want to see? And those are pretty critical. Right off the bat, I just think it's the key to getting people to really want to come in. Pulling in the property is a key to really getting you to get them to the unit to take a look at it.
Well, I think your point is well taken. In other words, if you have to park your car and walk through 2-foot tall weeds to get to the management office, you're obviously
or
not,
trash.
And trash is an interesting thing. I mean, I think so much of what you just said has a lot to do with the on-site team that's there.
Yeah.
In other words, I've been to properties where they're immaculate, and obviously someone is doing a great job of keeping up with that. I've been to other properties that as I walk the property with the manager or assistant manager, there's trash and they just walk right by it. Then there's other managers who I'm walking with and they'll bend over and pick up every piece of trash they see and just hold it in their hand until they can get to a trash receptacle. So
see, that's the manager you want right there.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
That's the one.
Yeah.
You've got to find them and you better pay them well, treat them right.
Yeah.
And because they're going to make you the money in the end.
Absolutely.
I mean, they're going to be the ones that are walking around, you know, they're at night going, oh, hey, that light is out, jotting it down, letting the maintenance crew, hey, we've got lights out in the back here. We need to get that taken care of. And then we're going to walk the property and make sure that everything's it's in good working order, everything is maintained properly.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you walk in and you see that you've got a manager that really, really likes their job and is really good at it, that is going to sell your space for you.
Right. You know, you also had change the lights. Lighting is always a big thing, not only from a curb appeal standpoint, but also from a health safety issue.
Yeah.
What have you found with that?
Yeah, you
want to
make sure that you've got plenty lighting. Make sure that, you know, people are coming home at night and that they want to know that they're safe. Everything is well lit, and you know the pathways are lit. There's really not any dark spots. You know, another thing on the landscaping, you want to make sure your landscaping is done right. I mean, it's as far as now you got me onto security, Paul. We got kind of, but I'm thinking about, you know, we really focus on making sure that, you know, all of our landscaping, we have 4 or 5 foot high bushes. We make sure that you can see underneath. You know, nothing can be hidden back there, or nobody's hiding back there. You really want to have that because a potential tenant is going to think like that.
Well, I had a guest on once, and he was talking about the 3 and 7. Excuse me, or maybe it was the 7 and 3 rule, which you want all your trees pruned up, so that the limbs are shorter than 7 feet from the ground, so you can see out, and then you want your shrubs pruned down to no taller than 3 foot. So you've got a line of vision, and from a safety standpoint, is what they were saying.
Yeah, I'd never heard that, but yeah, that makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
I'll remember that one. Yeah, no, that's you've got to really think like that because that's what your potential tenant is really, that's what they're looking at. And you have to put yourself in their shoes.
And you know, George, on this, it's talking about inspect and maintain. How do you make sure that's being done on your properties?
Well, there's a couple things to do. Number one is, first and foremost, it's the training for the employees. Kind of like what you had said earlier, where you see the manager that picks up the trash as they go along. Well, it goes hand in hand where all the employees should be looking for things that they can address and or repair, maintain. And that is part of it. But, you know, the other part is that you should have a schedule where the maintenance crew is going in and taking a look and, you know, proactively taking steps to inspect each unit, preferably at least once a year, but preferably twice a year, you know, every 6 months, where you're walking through every single one of the units and, one, make sure that it is there's no leaks that maybe a resident isn't aware of, you know, that might be behind a small easy leak that can be fixed underneath the sink. If it's not fixed right away, can turn into a major repair of replacing cabinetry and wood flooring.
Sure.
Because of dry rot. But if you're actually inspecting it and you're doing it twice a year, you're going to proactively take a look at that and see those, you know, your personnel that are trained to see it, they're going to see it. They should also be able to look and question, you know, if they see something that perhaps, the big hot topic these days in the last few years has been mold. I have my opinions about that, but, there is mold.
Yeah.
And or a lot of times it's mildew. And your employees should be trained that when they walk through to at least question it. See, you know, what is that? Is that more of a maintenance cleaning issue that the resident should be taking care of? Or is that perhaps a potential for a leak that's coming through the drywall or in the shower that's coming up above from the unit of above? So part of that is just doing those walkthroughs. And the other part is having the employees that are trained to keep an eye out and look and make sure that they address issues and question issues that they may think need to be addressed.
Yeah, and by the way, I did not mean to just pick on managers. I also walk properties with maintenance technicians, and you have maintenance technicians who will walk right past trash, and others that will bend over and pick up every piece of trash, and you know, while they're doing it. So, I mean, I think that's something that, as part of a culture on a property, as far within the management team, that needs to be instilled, that, you know, take pride in your property and make sure that that it's clean and it's presentable, because it is a first impression when someone walks in. And there's another thing I wanted to ask you about is I've had some of the guests on our show talk about the fact that because things have changed so much today with the internet and social media, that getting that prospective resident to the site to have that first impression can sometimes be difficult, because they don't ever make it to the site. One of our guests says, we have no idea how many people we're losing from ever showing up onto the site because there may be a bad review or something out there. What have you found out about that?
Well, I wasn't sure if you were.
No. Either one.
George, go ahead, George.
Okay. No, well, as far as the bad reviews, you know, it's really finding them. But, you know, the interesting part when it comes to reviews is that most people don't write the review unless there's a problem.
Right.
So, you know, for every bad review, typically speaking, unless it's really poorly managed, for every bad review, there's probably 100 good reviews waiting to be brought out. And part of that is, again, reaching out and, you know, talking to the tenants. When you go above and beyond doing something for a resident, ask them to write a positive review for you. You know, it's most people don't think to do that. They, you know, they always want to do something because they want to be heard if they're feeling that there's a negative. So part of that's communication. Part of that is getting those good reviews as well. But also take a look and see. You know, it's interesting. Some of the review sites that are out there are known to be kind of a pay for play, where, you know, they actually take off good reviews and leave bad reviews on because that's what people want to see. It's almost kind of the news mentality, where, you know, the bad news sells.
Right.
And the be aware of that. And really, you know, when you're looking at the reviews, you can take a look at them. If it is a true negative review, comment on it. You know, own up to it. If you're the manager and, you know, there was something that was wrong or the person's right, comment back to them and say, you know, I understand the situation happened. I apologize for it. Here are the steps and actions that we've taken to correct it.
Right.
And, you know, I think that'll go way above above any kind of positive review as well, because it shows that anybody looking at the reviews is, you know, they're showing that you actually care about them, that you're doing something to address that and to fix it. So that's what I would say about the negative reviews and looking at it and being proactive for that. You know, your managers, your leasing agents should actively be looking on the sites to look for reviews, look at the negative reviews, look for the positive reviews, and also thank people if they do write a positive review. Make sure that they know that you saw it.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, I was going to say that. And just, you know, every time somebody does make a positive comment, you should jump on and give them a quick thank you.
Yeah.
And even ask your vendors to write reviews for you.
Yeah, that's a great point. That's a great point. Well, we got to take a break. We're going to be back with our final segment after this short break. You're listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Tired of being burned by your carpet vendor? Nobody has you covered like Rasa Floors. They lead the industry with same-day service and cutting-edge technology, like their online ordering portal and mobile app, so you can place orders instantly. The professionals at Rasa Floors are the industry experts, offering the hottest new styles of carpet and hard surfaces that will help you achieve your goals. Visit them on social media, watch their videos, and look for them at local trade shows. Rasa Floors will help you make ready your apartment homes for new residents. For more information, visit rasafloors.com.
Your property and liability insurance is one of your highest expenses. Put Ted W. Allen and Associates' 50-plus years of experience in multifamily insurance to work for you. If you have multiple properties on separate policies, you may qualify for a master policy, which can eliminate the need for multiple insurance renewals and provide you significantly lower premiums. Call Ted W. Allen & Associates at 281-378-7500. That's 281-378-7500. Or online at tedwallen.com.
Well, we are back with our final segment of Multifamily Matters, and we're discussing several creative and interesting ideas and tips for owners and operators of multifamily properties. I'm Paul Marks. Joining me by phone from California are two multifamily industry thought leaders, Joe Killinger, a partner with Pono Asset Management, and George Pino, CEO of Commercial Brokers International. One of the articles that you authored, Joe, was the five smart strategies to attract new tenants. Everybody is always interested in how they can attract new tenants. So let's talk about that a little bit. Tell our listeners what those are.
I mean, there's a lot of inventory out there, and you really have to think, how am I going to stand out? What is going to make my property, you know, stand out compared to the hundreds of neighboring properties? And as we talked about in the earlier segment, number one thing is your property well lit? Is it clean? Is your landscaping done? You know, that's the first thing that they see when they're walking in. And then when you get into the units, you know, if you are doing you stage the unit, make sure that you stage it for the community that you're in. If I go in and see a 1970s plaid couch ever again in my lifetime, that's probably going to be one last time too many. You just don't need to see those.
Right.
Know what you're doing. Hire somebody. If you're going to stage, make sure you hire a professional stager, and keep it as minimal as possible, because people want to see their furniture in that space,
right,
more so than what you've got in there. So try not to force your taste on anybody. Really reach out to the local community, schools, churches. Let them know that you have this property and that you are in their community, and you would like to be, you know, you're happy to be part of their community, and, you know, can you refer potential new residents over?
Now, how do
and
you typically...
So really getting yourself out there within the community, talking to everybody. I mean, you as the owner, and if you have the property manager, make sure they're out there. That needs to be a big part of their day, is talking to the neighbors.
So you
all the retail, churches, schools, getting to know everybody.
So what you're advocating is getting the manager involved in making the rounds in the neighborhood to talk to
the community.
In the community, yeah. Okay, great. That's a great idea.
Or if your manager doesn't have time to do it, your leasing staff, they should be out there talking about your property. You know, taking flyers out, say, listen, this is our property. This is what our units look like. If you know anybody looking for a new place, we're right over there. We're offering incentives. If you refer them in, maybe you could have, you know, a Starbucks card that you could give them if they refer somebody in.
Sure.
Don't just always go ask for something. You know, bring value to somebody. You know, so listen, if you refer somebody in, I'll give you $25 Starbucks card or something like that. And that's going to get their attention.
Right. Other ways to attract new tenants. What do you have?
Oh, you know, the schools are probably, you know, a lot of these, that's a great place. You want to go in and talk to the schools. Churches are a big thing that you go out, and they can even have, we had one particular client that went in, and they had a workout facility they no longer use. They allow the church to come in and have services there or hold events there. And that brought in people from that church that began living there then.
Wow.
You know, it really, find out ways that you can get your property ingrained into that community.
Yeah,
that's something you really want to focus on.
Yeah, that's a great idea. You also had on in the article sustainability.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of people, you know, they want to see that you're really making a conscious effort to do something for the environment. You know, if you can do solar energy or, you know, at least the lighting, LED lights, recycling, you know, all that, is a lot of people like to see that. They really feel that you're putting something toward the community. And another thing is security. That's another, that's kind of a big thing with what we're seeing, is that security is kind of a big issue. They want to know that, you know, is it, depending on your community, of course, but you don't have to go build a $20,000 gate, but you want to make sure that your security, you've got the lighting in place, that that's all lit up so they feel safe when they're around their property.
Those are all great tips. You know, you also had another article about the importance of a move-in and move-out checklist, and we've got about three or four minutes left. Let's talk about that.
Yeah. You know, when you have a tenant that's moving out, you want to make sure you're either your manager and preferably your maintenance person is there. You go through and make sure that you've checked everything that has been done to that property, and what you're going to have to do to really bring the property back up to leasing, what it should look like. And you know, it can really, that's key for us, because as soon as they move out, the day that they're moving out, we go in and we check everything off, from the paint, the quality of the paint, the quality of the carpet, you know, how the wear and tear. And then you're going to have to look at, see what it's going to cost you to fix that property back up. And then when your new tenant moves in, you're going to have your checklist. You go back to, okay, we just painted that wall, we just did that new carpet, or we just cleaned that carpet. And so it just gives you a base to go back to. Because I was dealing with a situation yesterday with a tenant where she just said, I need new carpet. Well, we just put carpet in December. And she had, there was an iron or something that happened to burn a hole in it, and she wanted new carpet. So we just went back to the list and showed her, like, listen, we just put new carpet in here. Here's the invoice. Here's the move-in list. And so it really can save you a lot of headaches down the road.
Sure. And as far as, I guess that also helps you with when someone has a security deposit, and you've got to get in there and do your checklist.
Know how much you need to put for the if you're going to capture some of that security deposit, you'll know exactly how much then. So, because I'll sign off on it.
Yeah. George, what have you found in regards to move-in and move-outs and how to handle those things?
Well, the move-in, move-out, I think, is fantastic. I would probably also recommend that perhaps, in this day and age, we have such ease of access to digital photos, but
sure,
also take photos of the condition of the property on the move-out, move-in, and also on the move-out. More importantly, make sure that you test not just look at the walls for scratches and or holes or things like that, but check the appliances, make sure they're in working condition so that they don't come back to you in a week or 2 months saying that this never worked, this is what's happening. And and also it happens when people move in, they bang the walls sometimes, but you don't want them to come back and say that was already there. So on a move-in inspection, it's really there to protect you, but it's also there to protect the resident as well, because they know exactly what if there was damage, or something, they make note of it, so that they're not held liable for it at the end when they do move out and you come back and say, there's a big scratch in this wood floor, and they can come back to the move-in inspection and say, no, it was there when we moved in, see? And so it protects the resident as well. It's there, the move-in, move-out is there not just for the landlord, but also for the resident. And, that's what I would suggest, is make sure that you're there. And also take photos of the items that maybe have additional wear and tear during the move-in that they've accepted in that condition.
Sure. Well, guys, it's, Joe, I started out by saying you're a prolific writer of these articles. Those are just a few of the ones that I wanted to talk about. So there was plenty more that you had posted. But I do want to let our listeners know a little bit more about you guys and tell us how you got started in the industry and what you're doing. And if someone wanted to reach you, how could they reach you? And either one of George, you could start if you'd like.
Sure. I've been in the real estate business now for about 31 years. Starting off primarily doing sales, throughout the country, started investing in multifamily assets probably in the mid-90s, just kept investing in that class. Right now, we currently, as you mentioned, CEO of Commercial Brokers International. We have a headquartered in Los Angeles. We have a group and team of agents that specialize in different types of investment sales and commercial leasing throughout the, investment sales throughout the country, leasing and whatnot throughout the Los Angeles area. And we help clients from all aspects of the commercial real estate, even when it comes to helping them, take a look at financing, which is something that all owners should also take a look at, too, is, see when their financing's coming up, prepare for it ahead of time, and potentially look to potentially refinance to save money.
Sure. That's great. And if someone wanted to reach you, how could they do it?
Well, easiest way to reach me is via email, gpino@cbicommercial.com. You can always call me at 310-943-8536.
All right, great. Joe, we've got about a minute and 15 seconds.
I can film that. I work with Pono Asset Management. It's a holding company for George and I. We have a few companies. We have, obviously, George is the CEO of Commercial Brokers International. We have a property management company in Los Angeles, LLC Property Management. And we have an investment company under Commercial Brokers International, which is actually a player to be named. We're getting ready to name that company and launch it. So,
okay.
And then I myself do some mentoring with real estate agents and beginning real estate investors across the country. And so George and I have been in business. I guess he kind of told you our story. We started companies for other people, figured out that maybe we should do this on our own, start our own company, and it's worked out pretty well. So I'm in Los Angeles most of the time. You can get hold of me at Joe at joekillinger.co. That's Joe, J-O-E, at J-O-E-K-I-L-L-I-N-G-E-R.co. 310-943-8542.
That's great. Well, thank you guys for being on. It was very informative and educational. I know our listeners will enjoy it. We're going to be back next Friday and each and every Friday at 10 a.m. right here on 1110 a.m. KTEK. We'll have another great topic and power panel of industry experts. You've been listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Thank you for listening to Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. To find out more about the show or make suggestions for topics or interesting guests, go to multifamilyradio.com. You have been listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.